Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Chodesh Sivan learning at the Young Israel Vodmir. Today's shir is called The Daughter of Lot and Ruth the Moavi When Destinies Collide. We are learning as a schos for a fuah shalema for a dear friend who needs rachamei shamayim and be'ezus Hashem refuah shalema chaya Esther bas Feiga, as well for as an aliyas neshama for Esther bas Rafa al Tzvi. May your neshama have an aliyah in the merit of our Torah. The daughter of Lot, Ruth the Moavi, when destinies collide, as we prepare for the Yom Tov of Shavuos, which is very shortly upon us in less than a week. So let us begin in the Megillah. We're going to be speaking about, obviously, Ruth and Bat Lot. And it was in the days of the judges, the Megillah begins and tells us, and there was a famine in the land. And the famine in the land of Israel. And a man from Beis Lachem Yehuda, Elimelech, took a journey. And he decided to leave his homeland and his birthplace, and he journeyed to the fields of Moab. He took he and his wife, Naomi, and he took along with him his two sons, Mahlon and Kilion. And they came to the fields of Moab, and there they lived. And tragedy struck, and Elimelech died. Why did he die? So the sages tell us, and Rashi on the Megillah quotes it, that he was a very wealthy man, yet he was miserly towards the poor. He fled Eretz Yisrael. He was afraid he would be overcome with requests for tzedakah, and he did not want to have to give tzedakah. He didn't want to have to share his wealth, and therefore he died. Right away, we have a very, very important lesson right there. What we own, what we have, is not ours. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives it to us, and we are simply vehicles to pass it along to others. So Naomi is left a widow, she and her two daughters. She and her two sons, I read about. She and her two sons, which we all know. And the boys married Moavi girls. Mahlon married Ruth, and Kilion married Orpah. And they lived there, says the Megillah, for about 10 years. And once again, tragedy struck. And this time, Mahlon and Kilion died. And now, bereft of their men, Naomi, the widow, is left all alone in the fields of Moab. She is now also a bereaved mother, and she is left with two Moavi daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. And the women hear that the famine in the land of Israel has ceased, and they decided to return to Israel. So if you could look in Rus, what page do we say this? 1269, all the way in the back. Perek Aleph Pasuk Ches. We're just going to paraphrase the rest of the Perek together inside. Rus, Perek Aleph Pasuk Ches. Okay, so this is where we're up to, is the story as I have just told it. They're going to go back. Vatomer Naomi l'shtei kalosaha. Naomi says to her two daughters-in-law, I'm in chapter 1, verse 8. Go, return, each one to the house of her mother. God should do kindness with you like you did with me and with the dead. And Hashem will give you rest and you will find a new husband. Look at Pasuk Tes. Vatishak lohen. Naama kissed them. Naomi kissed them. Vatisena kolana vatibchana. They lift their voices and they cry. It's a very dramatic goodbye. Here she is saying goodbye to her daughters-in-law, and she gives them a big kiss, and they start crying. And they say to her, you know, we're going to go back with you to your people. And she says, why are you coming back with me? Do I have sons within me that they can be for you for a husband? You should go. I'm too old to get married again. There's no hope for me to have more children, and you're not going to wait for them to grow up anyway. Pasuk Yadalid, verse 14, and they lift their voices and they cry more. Vatishak Arpa lachamosa. Arpa kisses her mother-in-law, Virus Davkaba. Ruth clings to her. And what happens? Arpa leaves. And Naomi says, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people. Vatomer Ruth. And Ruth says, Al tifki bila azvech. Don't pressure me to leave you, to go back from upon you. Ke asher telchi elech. Such beautiful, evocative, dramatic, timeless words. Where you go, I will go. Ubasher talini alin. Where you sleep, I will sleep. Amech, ami. Your nation is my nation. Alokayach, alokay. Your God is my God. Where you die, I will die. Vesham ekover. There I will be buried. So Hashem should do to me, and so he will do even more. Only death, ki hamavis yafrid beinu veinech. Only death will part between us. And the mother-in-law sees that she really doesn't want to go back, so she stops pressuring her. And they go together to Beis Lachem. And when they come to Beis Lachem, vateichom kol ha'ir, everyone is shocked. We have to understand that Elimelech was very prominent in society, and he was very, very wealthy, highest echelons of society, and he leaves and he comes back. And what does he have? He's not there. The sons are there, and comes back with a wife, the bereaved woman, and who's with her? A Moavi. A Moavi girl. But to hom call a year, hazos Naomi. Is this Naomi? Verse 20. And she says, don't call me Naomi, call me bitter, because God did very bitter to me. I went full, and I came back empty. Why call me Naomi? Hashem brought catastrophe bad upon me. And Naomi and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, returned, and they came to Beis Lachem at the beginning of the barley harvest. In Pasuk of Beis, we're going to focus on this word. And Naomi returned, v'Ruth ha-Moavia kalasa ima hashava mistei Moav. We're going to understand what it means that Ruth returned from the fields of Moav. So we saw in Pasuk Tes, she says, Hashem, Naomi says, Hashem should give you rest, and you should find a new husband, a new home, v'tishak lahem. Naomi, you have to keep all the names straight. Naomi kissed Ruth and Naomi kissed Orpah. They lift their voices and they cry. What's the result of that kiss? The result of the kiss is Pasuk Yadalad, as we have seen. They lift their voices, they cry more. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, basically goodbye. The Ruth dove Kaba. Ruth what? Clung to her. Naomi kissed them. From that kiss, Orpah left and Ruth stayed. While debased, Orpah went back home. It was Naomi's kiss that drew Ruth closer to her and therefore to Yahados. It was a result of that initial kiss that drew her in, that led to the union with Boaz. And the union with Boaz, of course, led to the birth of Oved. And the birth of Oved led to David HaMelech, Melech HaMashiach. The kiss, I wrote in my notes, transformed Ruth, the Moabite, from a Moabite princess, the daughter of Eglon, to a Jewess. The words say, Vatashav Naomi, I showed it to you the last pasuk in Perek Aleph, Vatashav Naomi, Naomi returned, Virus Hamoavia Kalasa Ima, the Moavi daughter-in-law with her, Hashava Miste Moav. This the Moavi returned with her. Vatishak Lahen. In that kiss, Ruth's soul was awakened. Ruth's status was changed within that kiss. Ruth's mother is now Naomi. Ruth's people, Naomi's people are Ruth's people. Naomi's the mother. Naomi represents the nation. Naomi becomes the teacher, the Rebbe, the one who converts her daughter-in-law. Al tifkibi la'azvech, please don't pressure me to leave you, to go back from you. Ki al asher telchi elech, wherever you go, I'll go. Asher talini ali, where you sleep, I will sleep. Your nation is my nation, your God is my God. I'd like to tell you a story about a kiss. Sometimes a kiss can break a man more than a vicious slap or a ringing blow, said the Blushev Rebbe of Yisrael Spira, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. In Lemberg, which is Lvov, I had a foreign passport from a South American country. It was a passport for myself, my Rebbetzin of blessed memory, and for a young child. But when I received the passport, it was too late. There was no longer a Rebbetzin. My beloved grandson, as well as my daughter and son-in-law, were all gone too. Upon receiving the passport, I realized I had an opportunity to save two Jewish souls. I could save a middle-aged woman, and I could save a young child. When this became known, about 40 children with their parents came to me, little boys crying, begging to be saved. They promised to be good. They would not be a burden to me. How could I choose? How could I prefer one Jewish child over another? I told the Judenrite, I was returning to my apartment. They have to choose. They have to bring me a child. 2 days later, a father came to me with a small boy, age 6. I am Perlberger, said the father, introducing himself. Then he went on and he said, Rebbe, I'm giving you my child. God should help you. You should be able to save my son. You should both survive. He bent down. He kissed his child on his head. And he said, Shraga, from this moment on, the Jew next to you is your father. Quote, said the Blushev Rebbe, that kiss I cannot forget. Wherever I go, that kiss follows me my whole life. Before he shut the door behind him, the father took one more lingering look at his son. I heard the echo of his painful steps as they descended the staircase. A few days later, we were deported to Bergen-Belsen. A Gestapo man looked at my foreign passport. He looked at the young child with me. He bent down with a warm smile and he said to the little boy with his friendly grin, tell me the truth, my child. Who is this old man next to you? Shraga glanced at me with big, childish, loving eyes. He took my hand, he turned to the Gestapo man and he bravely said, the man is my father. Vasher Tamusi Amus, where you die, I will die. Visham Ekaber, there I will be buried. So Hashem should do to me and you, so he should add. Only the Mavis, will separate between me and you. God helped us. The boy and I both survived Bergen-Belsen. Despite many difficulties, I studied with him every day in the camp. With God's help, we were liberated by the American army while we were on the death train on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. After liberation, together with other children who survived, Shragel was brought to the land of Israel. He grew up there, a gentle lad. He did very well, and he was successful in his studies. Shragel's father, Mr. Perlberger, did survive the war. He was privileged to see his son one more time. He had been in hiding during the war with Christian friends in damp cellars. He was very, very sick. When he was liberated, he began his search for his son, who he believed had survived because of that kiss. Despite the British blockade around Palestine, the sick father reached Israel, and a very sick man near death. He saw his son one single time, and then he passed away. He managed to survive, said the Blujava Rebbe, all that time to see his child once more. People told me he passed away with a tranquil smile on his lips. Through the years, I kept in touch with that boy, Shraga. He became my third son. Years later, he married a very nice girl. His home became a place of Torah and of culture. Sometime later, Shraga already had three daughters with his wife. My phone rang. My wife just gave birth to a son. They lived in London. Said the Blujava Rebbe, next Sunday, I am coming to London, to the Bris Milah. I'm not coming as the Rabbi of Blujav. I'm not taking fitlach. I will not act in any other Rebbe fashion. I'm coming as a father to rejoice. Amech ami. Your people are my people. Elokayach elokai. And she kissed them. Virus dav kaba. I'm coming to celebrate the birth of a grandson to my son. We arrived in London on Sunday morning. We walked to the ceremony that day wearing our shtreimlich, dressed in our Shabbos finery. I was flanked by my three sons. I experienced the highest heights of spiritual pleasure. The great elevation of soul I felt that Sunday in London was part of the realization of what I lost and what I found. Quote, but all that time, the echo of that kiss that little Shraga received on his head from his father resounded in my ears. I saw before my eyes a father bending down for one more time, kissing his beloved son, pointing at me and saying to the child, from this moment on, that man is your father. The last kiss of a father to a son follows me my entire life. From that day on, from the Bris Milah in London, that kiss was even more vivid than it was the day it happened in Lemberg. I hope the merit of that kiss, which protected me in the past, gave me the treasure of children and grandchildren, will protect us all in the future. Yitein Hashem lachem metzana menucha. Hashem should give you, you should find rest. Isha beis Isha, go home. Go back to where you came from, said the mother-in-law Naomi to her daughters-in-law. Why do you want to stay with me? Vatishak lahem. But then she kissed them. And from that kiss, they lifted their voices and they cried. And while Arpa kissed her goodbye, a superficial kiss, Virus Dav Kaba, who is this man next to you? Tell me the truth, young child. He took my hand and he looked at me and he said, the man is my father. The kiss, said the Blujava Rebbe, I cannot forget. The kiss follows me my whole life. I heard the echo of his painful steps as he descended down the staircase. Us and Naomi, in fact, returned to Beis Lachem Yehuda. We know that. Together, we're going to discuss the return. Rus marries Boaz. Who is Boaz? I'm fast-forwarding, okay? I have to fast-forward. Rus marries Boaz. Boaz is a cousin of deceased Elimelech, Naomi's husband, who has died. Interestingly, she conceives on her first night of marriage. Is everyone with me? They come back to the field to Beis Lachem Yehuda. Okay, let me fill in a little what I fast forward. And they're very, very poor. Hazos Naomi, this is you, Naomi, the highest echelons of society to poverty. Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. And they need food. So she goes out to glean. Peya, leka, shichka. You have to leave a corner of the field. You have to leave gleanings. You have to leave forgetting. For the poor. That's the matzav there and now. They don't have their own field. She's gleaning in someone else's field. Whose field is it? Boaz. Who's Boaz? A cousin of Elimelech. And Boaz says, you have full permission. Don't go to anybody else's field. Please stay in my field. Now, Ami understands that this is ordained by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have a perfect chance here for a shidduch. And she arranges the shidduch. In fact, they get married. Okay, I filled in what I fast-forwarded. They get married on the first and only night of marriage. We know that Ruth conceives a child. After that, in fact, Boaz's task is done, and he, what happens to him? He dies. After that night, after that union, after that one-time relationship, when she conceives the child, Oved, he dies. If you look at the end of the Megillah, please, chapter 4, verse 13. I don't know what page it is. Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yod Gimel. Megillus Rus, Parak Dalet. We're still in Rus. What page? 1272. Thank you very much. Page 1272. Vayikach Boaz is Rus. So Boaz takes Rus. And there's a closer relative, by the way, who is anonymous. He does not want to redeem Rus the Moavite. He wants the fields. When he hears it comes with marriage to a Moavite, he says, what? The shidduchs? Not for me. Thank you very much. And that's why Boaz says, I'll marry her. Boaz takes Rus. Vatihilo leisha. She becomes to him a wife. He comes to her. They have relations. And Hashem allows her to conceive. And she gives birth to a son. I just want to see this thing. Okay. Fascinating passage. And the woman say to Naomi, Baruch Hashem. Blessed is God. He has not withheld for you a redeemer to this day. Let his name be called in Israel. We still use that phrase when we're naming Vayikrashmo B'Yisrael. V'hayalach l'meshiv nefesh. The grandson should restore your soul and ulechalkel asevasech to support you in your old age, because your daughter-in-law, who you loved, bore him to you. She is better to you than seven sons. Naomi takes the child and holds the child in her bosom. She becomes the nurse. She raises the child. And the shechenos say, let's give him a name. A son has been born to Naomi. Naomi kissed Rus. Naomi became the mother. Naomi is now the mother of this child, and they call his name Oved. He is the father of Yishai, the father of David HaMelech. Rus, fascinating. Rus births the child, but it is Naomi whose transformative kiss changed Rus's status from Moavite to Jew, whose kiss woke up the stirrings of the soul and gave life to Rus. It is Naomi who mothers and raises the child. Rus's task is complete. Salvechuk says, every person is a tafkid in this world. He says, not everyone accomplishes their task. That's a different story. But he says, not one individual comes to this world without a task to complete. Rus's task is complete. Her name is not even mentioned anymore in the Megillah. Once she births the child, Boaz marries her, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Hashem gives her a child. If you look, you do not even see her name mentioned anymore. Once a person's task is complete, they are what? They have no purpose here anymore. They are no longer, even though, by the way, she lived a very, very long life. And the sages tell us she lived to see King Shlomo. Right? David HaMelech was her great-grandson. She lived to see David HaMelech's son Shlomo. But in terms of the Megillah, we actually don't see it. So on the level of the Pshat, we learn a very telling lesson from there as well. Every person has a tafkid to complete in this world. There's no such thing as a person comes to this world without a mission to accomplish. But her mission is complete. Her mission was to come back to the fields of Beis Lachem and to birth this child, of course, the father of the Messiah. About her, of Salvechik writes, the Messiah had yet another grandmother who came to us from the Gentile world. Who was she? Who are we talking about? Rus. She was heroic. Boaz acknowledged the great courage of this pagan girl. What was her great courage? She was in casting her lot with a people she did not previously know. He says she was a courageous girl. She was a pagan girl. And why did she say, your nation is my nation? Now, if you could please turn back to chapter 2. I'm not trying to confuse you with all the turning. It's a relatively short Megillah. You shouldn't have to go very far. Verse 2, chapter 11. Ooh, I said it backwards. Chapter 2, verse 11. Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph. I want you to pay attention to these words. You're with that, Bapit?
1270.
What?
1270.
1270. Perk base plus a good aleph. So I told you in the middle, the part that I fast forwarded, she's gleaning in the fields of Boaz. And Boaz comes and he says to his workers, "Who is this girl?" And they tell him who the girl is, and he strikes up a conversation with her. Vayam Boaz. Vayomerla. Boaz answered and said to her, "Who gayed, who godly? It has been told to me, call asher asis es chamosech, what you did for your mother-in-law, acharei mos ishech, after your husband died, v'ta'az v'avich v'imech, you left your father and your mother, v'eretz moladetech, the land of your birth, v'talchi al am asher lo yadat t'mal shosham. You went to people who you did not know yesterday and the day before." One more pasuk. Hashem should pay you back your reward. Your wage should be given in full from Hashem, the God of Israel, that you came under the wings of the Shekhinah. Do those two verses and the lashon of the verses remind you of anybody else? Obviously someone else in Tanakh. Okay, in Chumash to be specific.
Abraham,
what did you say? Why?
How so? Reminds me of it. I remember when Abraham was told, just Lech Lecha.
Okay, you ladies got it. So what's fascinating here? Very nice. Okay, so the answer was Avraham Avinu. Okay, we're going to talk about this for a minute. Let's go back to Rus before we get to Avraham. But you're absolutely correct. Rus is a heroic woman. She is a courageous heathen who left the ways of her people to return. Hashava. She returned to the fields, to the land of Yehuda. If you look at Pasuk Yud Aleph, she left her father and her mother, the land of her birthplace, and she went to seek shelter under the wings of the Shekhinah. It's right there for you. Salvechik says the great courage of this pagan girl in casting her lot with a people she did not previously know reminds us, I believe, it reminds us of another one who first recognized Hashem, who left pagan ways and heathen people and a foreign land, the first one to bring others tachas kanfei Shechina. And that is, as you have already said, Avraham Avinu. The pasuk says about Avraham Avinu, if you want to open up, it's the beginning of Perek Yabez and Bereishis. If you just want to see the comparison of the Lashon, if you don't, I'm going to tell you the pasuk. You know, better I should tell you the pasuk and you look in the pasuk in Rus, please. You can look in both places at once. You look at pasuk at Aleph. Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, "Vayom Hashem al Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha." Where did she leave? Eretz. Umi moladetcha. Where did she leave? Moladetech. I'm in Pasuk Yud Aleph of Rus. Umi beis avicha. Where did she leave? Avich ve'imech. El ha'aretz asher araka. Vatelchi, and you went. Lech lecha vatelchi. Me'artzecha eretz. Mi moladetcha moladetech. Mi beis avicha. You left your father and your mother to journey to a new land. Do you see that the terminology used between describing the journey of Avraham Avinu and that of Rus the Moavite are what? Unbelievably similar. The Sharashim are exactly the same. Furthermore, in regard to Pasuk Yud Beis, it says about Rus that she came tachas kanfei Hashchina. In what way does that remind us? Clearly of Avraham Avinu. Okay, the Pasuk says in Bereishis, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Hei, Bereishis 12:5. Avram took Sarah his wife and Lot his nephew and all their possessions that they amassed. But es hanefesh asher asu b'charan. What do you mean the souls that they made in Charan? So what does Rashi say there? Who remembers?
What?
So Avram was megayer the men. Sarah was megayer es hanashim. But what are the first words of the Rashi? That they brought the people tachas kanfei hashchina. What did we say here about Rus? You just left your land, your birthplace, your father's house, your mother's house, the new land. Are we talking about Avram or Rus? Both. Tachas kanfei hashchina, you came back, he says to her. Who is the first to bring others tachas kanfei hashchina? It's Bereishis 12:5, Yud Beis Pasuk Hei, with Rashi there. The Lashon of Rashi is, if I could find it for you, the first words of Rashi, Shehechnison tachas kanfei hashchina. Avraham Avinu and Sarah were the first ones to bring others under the wings. It means under the protection of, ensconced by the divine presence. What does Rus say here? as was told here by Boaz, you left your land, you left your home, you left your birthplace, your father and your mother, to seek shelter under the wings of the Shekhinah. And that's why I pointed out to you the importance in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Beis. Vatashav Naomi, Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite daughter in law was with her, Hashava Misadei Moab, who returned from the fields of Moab. Are you listening? Hashava. What it could it mean, Hashava? Not only did she return, but that she what? Not only did she physically return, I should say it better. Not only did she physically return, but she spiritually returned. And Chazal say, ready? You've seen the parallel in the Pesukim between her and Avraham Avinu. They had the same journey. They left pagan people. They left heathen ways. They left a land of impurity. Both of them journeyed to where? Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael. Both of them were brought under the wings of the Shekhinah. The Lashon is strikingly similar. Because I'll teach, what does it mean, Hashava Mistei Moab? That Rus, the Moabi, returned to the fields of Moab. It doesn't mean she returned. Why doesn't it mean she returned? Physically, she was never...
In
Beis Lachem Yehuda, are you with me? I understand that it says that Naomi returned. If you leave somewhere and you go back, you could say, you return. But Rus, the Moabi... was never there in the first place. So how could you tell me that she returned? She didn't return, she went. So Chazal say, based on these words, it's the last pasuk of Perek Aleph, which we already saw. Hashava Mistemav. She was one of the souls, say the sages, that Avraham Avinu made. What happened?
Wow.
The door? She was one of the souls. Isn't that fascinating? Hashava Mistemav. Remember we saw Tachas Kamfei Ashchina. As you said, Avram was Megayer the man and Sarah was Megayeris the woman. She returned. She was one of the souls that Avram Avinu made. Where do you see that echoed here? Exactly in what Boaz says to her. Boaz says to her, the same journey Abraham took, Rus took. Abraham was Avham and Goyim, the father of multitudes, the father of the Ummah Yisraelis. Rus is the father of Melech HaMashiach, the mother of Melech HaMashiach. Hashava Mistei Moav. Yes, she did return because spiritually she's one of those souls that Avraham Avinu made, but she got lost. But Tazvi Avich V'Emich Lechacha Me'artchem Lechacha Mi'Beis Avicha V'Telchi Lechlecha Lachasos Tachas Kamfav, says Boaz, you came under the wings of the Shekhinah. Who brought her originally under the wings of the Shekhinah? Avram Avinu, Vatashav Mistei Moav. She did return. Sheikhnisim Tachas Kanfei HaShekhinah. Is everyone with me? It's clear? Fascinating. The Rambam writes, Maimonides writes, in the beginning of Hilchos Ovdei Kochavim, he actually writes, it's fascinating, he writes a biography of Avram Avinu. Very untypical. Not that I know the Rambam, but I'm quoting Rav Salvechik says. Rav Salvechik says, very atypical of the Rambam to be writing a biography. He tells you the halacha. He doesn't tell you stories. When it comes to Avram Avinu, the father of the Ummah Yisraelis, who brought people under the wings of the Shekhinah, we have a biography. What do we know about Avraham Avinu? And you could look it up for yourselves. The eternal rock, Mishnah Torah, was not recognized, eternal rock, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was not recognized or known by anyone in the world, except for a few individuals, until Avraham Avinu, Chanoch, Mesushalach, Noach, Shem, Ever. The world continued in this pagan fashion, in this fashion of idolatry, until the pillar of the world, Avraham Avinu, was born. After this mighty man, he calls him, a mighty man, was born and weaned, Avram began to explore. He began to think. He was a child. But he thought night and day, wondering to himself, how is it possible that the world revolves? There is no one controlling it. Who's causing it to revolve? Does it go all by itself? He had no teacher. There was no one to inform him. He was mired in Ur Kasdim among foolish idolaters, pagan ways, Moavi people. His father, his mother, all the people around him were idol worshippers. And the Rambam writes, he would worship with them, but his heart was exploring and gaining understanding. Ultimately, Avraham Avinu appreciated the way of truth. He understood righteousness through his own comprehension. Avraham Avinu realized there's one God controlling all destiny. He created everything. There is no other God. Ani mamim be'emunah shelema. I believe with perfect faith, Shabari Yisparach Shema, that the Bar Yisparach Shema is the manig l'chol brut. He is the creator of all. There's no other God. He knew the entire world was making a mistake. Avram Avinu was the first one to take the journey that Rus took. The whole world is making a mistake. He was 40 years old, writes the Rambam, when he became aware of his creator. He began to formulate and debate with the people of Ur Kasdim. They were following the wrong path. He broke their idols. He taught them you should serve the one God. We know the king desired to kill him. He was miraculously saved. He left for Haran. He began his journey. And Avraham Avinu began to call it. I'm still quoting the Rambam. It's fascinating. It's a fascinating passage. It's a story. It's a biography. You want to know how Avraham Avinu began before Lach Lacha? It tells you. He left for Haran. He called out in a loud voice to all the people. And he told everybody, there's one God. Now imagine someone comes and tells you this, and the whole world is idol worshippers and pagans and heathens. You think the person, what, is ready to be committed to the insane asylum. The guy must be crazy, which is in fact what Nimrod wanted to do. Throw him into the fire. We don't want to hear from him anymore. He gathered people in city after city, country after country, until he arrived in the land of Canaan. Ramban writes, people would gather around him, he would make statements, he would explain to each one according to their level of understanding until they turned to the path of truth. And the Rambam writes, thousands, how do you pronounce the word, myriads? It means 10,000s, gathered around him. So according to the Rambam, Avraham Avinu had tens of thousands of students. All those people that he brought under the wings of the Shekhinah, numbered in the tens of thousands. These are the men, these are the rechusham, these are the possessions, these are the souls that they made in Haran. It's unbelievable. Who was one of those souls? Rus. Salvechik says, Rus was a heroic woman. She joined a people alien to her. She committed herself to a way of life she did not even understand. Avraham Avinu committed himself to a way of life, and the whole world said to him, you're crazy. The whole world said, we want to kill you. The whole world said, what are you doing? What does the world say to us today? You're crazy. What are you doing? It can't be MS. You need to see the truth. Still today, from Avraham Avinu, down to Rus, down to us. Rus came from a pagan background, says of Salvechik, where, quote, unlimited pleasure and overindulgence were an element of worship. By the way, that applies in 2016 as well. Unlimited pleasure and overindulgence were a way of worship. She joined, however, a religion that demands discipline. We live in a society where there is overindulgence. Our religion, however, demands discipline. Avraham Avinu came from whatever makes you feel good, you should do. And he recognized that there was a different way. Our religion, says of Salvechik, redeems the biological call for gratification through discipline. In a word, says of Salvechik, gerut, to convert. Avraham Avinu was the first ger, so to speak. Rus, his daughter, who he brought under the wings of the Shekhinah, followed in his path. What is gerut? Heroic action at the level of observance and practical living. Heroic, you have to be a hero. Vatashav. To return, to recognize the truth, to stand on one side and say, this is right, when everyone else says, it's wrong. It's heroic action. The poor in biblical times used to glean and gather after the reapers. That's exactly what Rus was doing. She was gleaning and gathering so that she could go home with food for her and her mother-in-law after the reapers. The Almighty, too, gleaned and gathered. Not corn, but beautiful inclinations and noble virtues. The Almighty gleaned and gathered to make the Messiah. From what he gathered, he wove the soul of Melech HaMashiach. God found a heroic girl in Moab. He brought her to Yehuda so she could collaborate with him in creating a Messiah personality. Should I repeat that paragraph? So beautiful. I'm going to try and repeat it only in his words without my commentary. In a word, gerut is heroic action at the level of observance and practical living. The poor of biblical times used to glean and gather after the reapers. The Almighty, too, gleaned and gathered. Not ears of corn, but beautiful inclinations and noble virtues. From those virtues, he wove the soul of Melech HaMashiach. God found a heroic girl in Moab, Rus. He brought her to Yehuda so she would collaborate with him in creating the Messiah personality. To both Avraham Avinu and Rus, we can apply the words of Rav Soloveitchik. Rus, you have a question? Rus was a heroic individual. Avram, I'm paraphrasing the Rav, Avram Avinu was a heroic individual. Each came from a pagan background where unlimited pleasure and overindulgence was the norm of society. He began a religion and she joined the religion that demands discipline and devotion. So Rush journeyed forth, Avram Avinu journeyed forth, leaving the ways of the country behind. Ah, we still have to get to Balo. And the ways of the land. Leave the fields of Moab. Leave the fields of the palace of Nimrod. Leave your father, Eglon. Leave the king. Leave the idolatry. Leave the depravity of the ways of your nation. Journey forth to Eretz Canaan. Journey forth to Beis Lechem Yehuda. I will make you a great nation, Hashem said to Avram Avinu. V'ascha l'goy gadol. Right after Hashem tells him to leave, I'll make you a great nation. V'avarechacha, I will bless you. V'agadla shemecha, I'll make your name great. Are we talking about Avram or Rus? Nehei bracha, you will bleed for a blessing. What was Rus told? Rus, the daughter of Avram and Sarah, the soul that was created and brought under Tachas Chamfei Hashchina, your name will be great. You will be for a blessing. Not in you as your personality, but through your great-grandson, David HaMelech, who becomes, of course, the father of the Mashiach. Now, I want to tell you something very exciting. So I was preparing the Shiar, and then I came across the following source. Happened to, I'm putting that in quotes. See, in a sefer, this Gemara was referenced. So I quickly went to look up the Gemara, because if we are saying that Rus is one of the daughters that Avram Avinu made, listen to the following Gemara. Yavamo 63a. The Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, Ma'i dichtiv. What does the pasuk mean? V'nivruchu b'chal komish b'chal sa'adama. All the families of the earth will be blessed for you. Which, by the way, is Bereishis 12:3. We've already spoken about 12:1. Yud Beis Aleph. That's the command of Lechacha. We've seen how it applies to us. We just spoke about Perek Beis. You will be great. Your name will be great. That applies to Avram Avinu. It also applies to Rus the Moavi. And verse 3 says, V'nivruchu b'chal komish b'chal sa'adama, through you, all the peoples will be blessed. So the Gemara says, Yavama 63:8, what does this mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram, ready? Shtei brachos tovos, I have two goodly shoots, good blessings, lahavrich bach, I have two goodly shoots to engraft onto you, to make come out of you. Who's the first one? Come on, who are we talking about? Rus the Moavit, the Oive, are you with me? The Gemara says in Yavamo 63a, we spoke about Bereishis Lach Lecha Perikid Beis Pasuk Af. We spoke about Perikid Beis Pasuk Beis. Now we're saying Perikid Beis Pasuk Gimel says V'nivruchu b'chal kamish b'chal sa'adama. Each pasuk we've expounded as relating not only to Avraham Avinu, but who took the same journey? Rus the Moavit. The language is so familiar and similar. Tachas Kamfav, Tachas Kamfei Hashchina. He made the souls. We read his biography. His biography is her biography. The only difference is that he had no teacher and she was fortunate. She had Naomi, who did teach her. But they both took the same journey. Gerut, says Rav Salavejik, is heroic action of discipline. So the Gemara says, Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, through you, what does he mean through you? Not you will be blessed. Through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. I have two goodly shoots. Goodly, Tova, to graft onto you. Rus the Moaviah. Ah, Rus the Moaviah. The Gemara directly connects who? Avram Avinu to Rus, saying that Rus came from him. The Na'ama Ha'amonis, Na'ama, I looked it up, was the wife of King Shlomo. It's in Sefer Melachim Aleph. We're not going to talk about that now. First of all, I don't know enough about it to talk about it right now. Second of all, it's not for the purposes of our shir. But I'm bringing you the Gemara to show you that the Gemara itself, that we just read in this week's parasha, the Rashi tells us just in this week's parasha, Torah Shebichtav is mi Sinai, and Torah Shebaal Peh is from Sinai. And the Gemara here tells you that Rus was a shoot grafted onto Avraham Avinu. We have already understood that based on the Lashon in the Megillah. Avram Avinu and Sarah made Rus. And here in Megillas Rus, she returns to the fields of from pagan Moab to Beis Lechem Yehuda to glean in the fields of Boaz as God gleans the mother of Mashiach. Now, not only, okay, so we spoke about Perikid Beis Pasuk Av, Perikid Beis Pasuk Beis, I'm in Bereishis, Perikid Beis Pasuk Gimma. What does Perikid Beis Pasuk Hei say, which we already touched upon because we quoted Rashi from there? Perikid Beis Pasuk Hei tells us, Avram took Sarah his wife, and who's the next one that says he took? Oh, that's Lot ben Achiv and all their possessions and the souls they made in Haran. We spoke about the end of the pasuk because the souls he made in Haran, one of those thousands is Rus the Moavi. Strong connections between her and Avraham Avinu. The journey, the same. The recognition of the Almighty, the same. The Dveikus, Rus Davkaba, the Dveikus, the same. The mockery of the people around them, the same. Nevertheless, the courage to be a faithful Jew, Tachas Kanfei Hashchina, applies to both of them. But somebody else went along with Avraham Avinu on the journey. Sarah, the souls they made. And who do we just say is listed in that verse? Lot. He also took Lot. Who was Lot? Says Rav Soloveitchik. Lot was Avraham Avinu's nephew, but he was his Talmud Mufak. Avraham Avinu was the Rebbe, and his brother died, and Lot journeyed with him, and he believed that Lot was going to take on the heritage. He didn't have children. I am going barren. What have you given me? Lot's going to take over. He's going to take on after Avraham Avinu passes on. So he starts with Lot, and he starts with Rus. Lot gets Lot. Rus gets so many names. I know them. They're just, you know, when you try and talk too fast, and all the wrong people, when you call the kids, and you have to say three till you get the fourth name right. Rus came on the journey with Avram, but she got lost in the fields of Moab. Lot also came with Avram, but he also got lost. Where did he get lost? If her soul got lost in the fields of Moab, his soul got lost in the plains of Sodom. Now, if you want, you could turn to Bereishis, Oy Vavai, Perikud Gimel, Pasuk Zayin. Okay? Perikud Gimel, Pasuk. If you don't want to turn, you don't have to turn. I could just read it to you. Bereishis, chapter 13, verse 7. Could someone tell me, one person tell me a page it's on? 58. Thank you very much. Page 58. It's amazing, no? It's amazing? What are you going to tell me? It's not amazing? It is. It's amazing. Torah is min ha-shamayim. It's unbelievable. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Zayin. What, 58? Okay, so remember, if Soloveitchik says, Lot is the Talmud Mufak. Aram is the Rabbi par excellence. He has thousands of Talmidim. Tens of thousands, says the Rambam. Rus is one of them. Her soul got lost. Sometimes people's souls get lost. That happens today also. But we never give up. We always know they're going to come back. Rus took a long time to come back, but she came back. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Zayin. But something happened, says Rav Soloveitchik in Mitzrayim. After they get to the land of Canaan, there's a famine right away. I'm continuing in Perek Yud Beis. And they go down to Egypt because there's no food. Okay? Rav Soloveitchik says something happens in Egypt. Lot is swayed by the immoral ways that he sees. And he realizes that there's another life. And his soul starts to get lost. There's an argument between the shepherds of Avram. I'm in chapter 13, verse 7 of Bereishis. And the shepherds of Lot and the Knani and the Prizi are in the land. And Avram says to Lot, we shouldn't have an argument between me and between you, between my shepherds and your shepherds. We're brothers. You're supposed to be with me. But I realize that this is not working out. The whole land is before us. Let's split up. If you go left, I'm going right. If you go right, I'm going left. Lot lifts his eyes, and remember, he's already been influenced by the pagan ways of Mitzrayim, and the hold of Avraham Avinu is starting to lose its grip on him. And he sees the plains of the Jordan. It was full of water. Before God destroyed Sodom and Amorah, it was like the garden of Hashem. The land of Egypt is a beautiful, lush land of plenty. The land of Egypt is overflowing with the Nile. He sees all the gashmis, the physical beauty. Canaan, you told me to go there. There's a famine. And I look at the plains of the Jordan, and I see this lush land, and that's what I want. And Lot chose for himself the plains of the Jordan, and he traveled from the east, and they split up. Avram stays in Canaan, which was dry, which was arid, which was a hunger in the land. And Lot sits in the lands of the plains, and he tented in Tulsadom. And then the Torah tells us about Sodom. The Anshei Sodom, in Perikid Gimel, Pasukid Gimel. I'm in Bereishis, chapter 13, verse 13. The Anshei Sodom, Ra'im v'chata'im laHashem ad me'od. Says Rashi, they were Ra'im begufam. They sinned with their bodies. V'chata'im, they were sinful with their money. They were bad people. The people of Sodom, and Lot knew that. And nevertheless, he chose it. Ruth got lost in the plains of Moab. Lot gets lost in the fields of Sodom. They are both the souls that Avraham Avinu made, and they both stray. Lot is tempted by the pagan ways, by the lustful ways, by the desire for money that he sees in Sodom. Rus is lost in the palace of Moab. Lot is lost in the plains of Sodom. Rus, the Moabite, returns. Remember, we saw that parak Aleph Pasuk Beis. Don't turn back of the Megillah. Rus returns, and we have explained that already, to the fields of Beis Lechem Yehuda. And when did Rus's destiny, the soul that Avraham Avinu made, the Moabite woman, the mother of Mashiach, collide with the destiny of Lot, another soul that Avraham Avinu made? Wow. And the two angels came to Sodom. I'm paraphrasing. Two angels come to Sodom in the evening, and Lot is sitting in the gates of Sodom. By the way, I want to point out something. In Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Beis, you just saw, he's sitting on the border of Sodom. Vayahal Ad Sodom. If Shmuel Golden says, it's a very strange word. Vayahal Ad Sodom. What do you mean Ad? He's either in Sodom or he is outside of Sodom. What kind of word is until Sodom? If Shmuel Golden says, at this point, he still knew he belonged with Avraham Avinu and the righteous ways, but he was persuaded by what he saw in Sodom. But he couldn't make the full move. You don't just jump into idolatry and immorality and bad ways. It's a process. Any debasement, descent of Ruchnias, is a process. In the beginning, it's Vayahal Ad Sodom. He's on the border. He's not sure. When the two angels come to him, where is he? Who remembers what the pasuk says? On that day, Vuhu Yoshev Bisha'ar Sodom. He's sitting in the gates of the city. And Rashi says there, that day he was appointed chief justice. The guy made his transition complete. He's first at Sodom. I'm not really sure where I want to be. I know I should be with Abraham, but I want to be in this place. And finally, his descent complete. He's sitting in the gates of the city. He's chief court justice. Lot still has some of Avraham Avinu in him, and he runs and he sees the guest. Have some water. Come to my house. Let me put you to sleep here. He brings the guest inside. And when the townspeople hear that there are guests in the home, what do? They converge around the home. They practically break down the windows and the doors and the walls. Give us the men. We want to know them. We want to be intimate with them. And here we see Lot's corruption, and he says, please don't touch my guests, but I have two virgin daughters. Would you like to have your way with them? So we see how strongly Sodom influenced him. And the angels say, who is here with you in the city? Get them, because we are going to flee. Ki mashchisim anachnu asamakum. We're destroying this place. The sons-in-law laugh at Lot. Ha ha, what are you saying? We're never going to be destroyed. This place is fantastic. The angels grab Lot, the wife, Ashes Lot, and the two daughters of Lot, and they flee. Don't look behind you, says the angel. Don't look back, lest you will be destroyed. And the pasuk says, Hashem overturned the cities and the entire plain. The wife looks behind, and she becomes a pillar of salt. Lot and his two daughters flee to a cave. Perek Yotas, pasuk Lamed Aleph, please. Chapter 19, verse 31. I need a tissue while you're doing that. 19:31, in Bereishis. I'm sorry. 19:31. Fascinating. I also have to turn. 19:31. Okay. I went too far. Okay. What page?
90.
Page 90. Everyone's with me? It's cool. It's amazing. 19:31. Perek Yotas Pasuk Lamed Aleph. So they're in a cave. Okay, the end of Pasuk Yud Lamed tells you they're sitting in a cave. Who's only left? Who's left, ladies?
Lod
and the two sons. The two daughters. You see, I'm having trouble today. Thank you. You're right, of course. Vatom HaBechira Al HaTzeira. The oldest one says, the elder daughter says to the younger daughter, our father's old. V'ish Ein Ba'aretz. There's no one else left. Rashi says, they were sure that the whole world had been destroyed, just like the generation of the flood. You understand? The two daughters think, who's left in the world? Three people. Lot, the oldest, and the youngest. The days before Twitter, I still remember on 9/11 that when I took my son to school, I was walking with him, and we were talking about the weather, and he said, there's a cloud in the sky. It was in Brooklyn. I thought, doesn't look like a cloud. It looks like a plume of smoke. And I thought, it can't be a cloud. The sky was so blue. But nobody had their phones on them with computer access. I had to drop him off at school, and one of the teachers said something. I'm in Manhattan. I had to come all the way home and tell my husband something happened. Maybe you should check on the computer. He said, I'm doing work. I don't have time to check. I said, I think you should check. This is the days before anything. So as far as they knew, there's no instant feed and Twitter and I don't know, posts and Facebook, there's nothing. What do they know? The whole world has just been destroyed. Who's left? One old man, Avinu's Arkane, two daughters. V'ish Ein Ba'art, says Rashi, they were sure it was like post-Mabel, post-deluge, nobody. Let's give our father to drink. We're going to lay with him. And we will carry on lineage. V'nichya me Avinu Zera. Let's have offspring from our father. So they gave their father to drink on that night. The eldest one comes. I'm in Pasuk Lamed Gimel. She lays with her father. He does not know when she lays and when she gets up. I wanted to point out something fascinating. Yes?
I always have a question in my mind. Where did they get the wine from?
Did you hear me start to say sentence and then there's a question? My sentence was, nobody asked me where they got the wine from. Okay, maybe there's some Ruach HaKodesh going on here. Rashi says, Yayin nizdamin lahem b'ma'ara. Wine was prepared for them in the cave in order to bring forth two nations. This Rashi is not just on the level, you know, telling us that wine was ready for them. It teaches us that who was maskim to their actions? The Almighty. Why? Because who arranged, I'm putting the quotes, for wine to be in the cave? Who knew they were going to be there and put wine in the cave? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Baruch Hu was masking. We're starting to understand that Rus had to come out from here. Hashem was masking. Beautiful. She lays with her father. He doesn't know when she gets up. And when she lays, when she gets up, Rashi says he does know. Okay, we're not going to talk about his intentions right now. And it was in the morning. And the oldest one says to the youngest one, I lay with father. Let's give him wine tonight. You lie with him. We will continue the offspring from her father. They give him more wine. The youngest one lays with him. He doesn't know. They become pregnant from their father. The oldest one gives birth to a son. She calls his name Moav. Moav is the product of incest. The son born of a union between Lot's lost soul and his daughter's seemingly corrupt yet redemptive action. I'm going to repeat my sentence. Moav is the product of incest. He is the son born of the union between Lot's lost soul and his daughter's seemingly corrupt yet redemptive action. And this Moav becomes the father of the nation that births Rus. There in the cave, amongst the backdrop of destroyed cities and smoking plains, smoking like the smoke of a furnace, one young, brave, courageous girl lays with her father and she conceives a child. What primary quality did Bat Lot embody that made her worthy to become the mother of Moav, the mother of Rus, the mother of Mashiach? Salvechik writes, Lot's daughter had something beautiful to contribute to the emerging personality of King Messiah. There in the cave, what did this primitive girl possess, says Rav Salvechik, that the Almighty, who gathered traits from all over the world, picked her up. She was uncouth. Uncouth, I said right. Yeah. She was primitive. She committed incest. She is the great-great-grandmother of Rus, and therefore David, and therefore Melech HaMashiach. The Messiah, he writes, will be her descendant! Exclamation mark. She was under the impression, and we just saw Rashi, that a cosmic catastrophe had struck. There were only three left. She acted, listen, as she did, because she wanted to save humanity. What? I'm taking a moment here to digress from the words of Salvechik. What is the mission of Melech HaMashiach? To save humanity, to save a destroyed world. She acted because she wanted to save humanity. She wanted to rebuild the world, start from scratch, replace the human race with another people. She believed the humanity had been destroyed. Quote, says Rav Salvechik, her heroism was of undreamt caliber. instead of giving up, she had the courage to try to rebuild the world. She convinced her younger sister, never mind, their method was primitive, their method was crude, but they took upon themselves an impossible task, something staggering and awesome. The plan was reprehensible, but the motivation, imaginative, noble, and heroic. The King Messiah, their grandson, will save the world. He will achieve what his great-great-grandmothers wanted to do. King Messiah will accomplish, and I'm going to say not will accomplish, even though Chas Shalom that I'm amending the words, just adding on a little, not will accomplish. They will continue the task, because these girls were able to accomplish. They will continue to the task, he says, of what the lonely girls could not do. The heroism of Lot's daughters consisted in commitment to mankind and the urge to save it. What quality did Balot possess? She had courage, ladies. She had strength. She had fortitude. She had resolve and determination. Here comes the key words. To look ahead. The whole world was destroyed. Humanity has come to a screeching halt. There are two lonely girls and one old man left. What of Pru, Urvu, Umilu, Asa'aretz, V'kivshu? She felt she had no choice. She felt she had to lay with her father. Quote, she self-sacrificed her sanctity for the good of the whole. It's a brave girl we look down upon her. What a brave, courageous woman. She had vision and foresight to look ahead. She believed two young, lonely maidens might just be able to save the world. She believed in the impossible, and she was determined to make it a reality. So too her great-great-grandson, Melech HaMashiach. He will self-sacrifice himself, if necessary, to save the world. He will have vision and foresight to look ahead and believe a better time, it has to be better than this, a better time will come. He will have courage to save the world from destruction. He will believe in the impossible as he redeems a corrupt world. He will make it a reality. And now I wrote, perhaps in naming her son Moav, we have a dual reference here. The tribe from which Rus beautifully emerges, she was declaring to the world, albeit in an immodest fashion, I did not give up. She persevered because she felt there was no choice. Moav, I believe in a better time, she said. I believe in myself. I believe in redemption through my child. Moav, he's from his father, but who prepared the wine? Maybe Moav means something else. Maybe Moav means he's from the father. Capital T, capital F. If Aaron Lichtenstein says, one of the messages on my timer, I have 3 more minutes. So even though that says 11:01, bear with me. One of the messages of the Holocaust, right, of Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, is that of faith. If a person experiences intense difficulty and his faith wavers, if you see the destruction of the entire world and you're unsure what to do, remember Jews who lived through the inferno and persevered with perfect, pure faith. A person has to remember, quote, each one of us is capable of being of person has to remember that each one of us is capable of being an Avram Avinu, who we're talking about basically today, because who made us? Avram Avinu. Who made Lot? Avram Avinu. Where does the destiny of Bat Lot collide with that of Rus the Moavi? There in the cave amidst the backdrop of smoking plains and destroyed towns. To be a believing Jew, says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, is to be the last Jew on earth and still to believe. He quotes Dr. Zerach Warftig, recounted after the Holocaust, he met Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, the Sweet Eish. And the Sweet Eish asked him, quote, are there any other Jews left in the world? He believed he was the last, but nevertheless, he was a Torah giant, firm in his faith. To believe you're the last and to not give up. And that's the mother of Mashiach. And that's why she is the mother of Mashiach. She embodies a trait we must all emulate. To believe you, even if you're the last, you don't give up. Moav from the father of the world. To still believe. We have to talk about the wife of Lot for a moment. Why wasn't she zocha to this trait to be worthy of birthing the Messiah? Lot was the father, but why couldn't it be from the mother? Why did it have to be from the daughter? What nekuda determined the mother's fate, the wife's fate? What did she do?
She didn't believe.
She looked back. She looked back. She became salt. This is not an accent. What does it mean she looked back? She lacked the courage to look ahead. If you only look back, you cannot persevere. If Malach HaMashiach comes and only looks back, he'll say, what will he say? He'll say, it's terrible. He'll say, a disaster. He'll say, it can never be better. Lot's wife looked back. She was stuck in the past. The Messiah needs the vision to look ahead. The daughter had that vision. The wife did not. She looked back wistfully, painfully, longing for another time when no one in that time was even willing to share salt. The sages say it's quoted in Rashi. She lacked the courage to move forward. She wanted the past. Mida keneged mida. She became salt and remained rooted in the past. Now, Atayseng fasting is preparing. I know I'm going too much over. Atayseng, unbelievable. What's one of the primary uses of salt? It's a preservative. Quote, one of the many uses of salt, out of the many uses of salt, it's noteworthy to point out, salt is a preservative. Quote, it's one of the oldest methods of preserving food. The wife of Lot, it's unbelievable. She wanted to preserve the past. Measure for measure, the past will be preserved for her. Lot's daughter understood there was a better future. She was ready and willing, courageous and defiant, brave and determined to move on, to move ahead to a new future. Last page. The wife of Lot was turned into salt, a remembrance of the past she clung to. The daughter of Lot looked ahead and became the mother of Melech HaMashiach. Mashiach ben David will embody the traits of Bat Lot. As she was, he will be. One who is willing and ready, courageous and defiant, brave and determined to move ahead, to shape the future, to save the world. Two lost souls that Avraham Avinu made, Lot, his Talmud Mufak, who got lost, and Rus the Moavid, who he brought under Tachas Kanfi Ashkina, each got lost in their respective places. Their destinies collide there in one cave with one old man and two young girls who resolved to save the world. It was these noble women, one the mother of Moav, and one the daughter of Moab, whose destinies collided as together they weave the fabric of Mashiach. I would like to end with you in the words of the Megillah. If you don't want to turn, you don't have to. I'm quoting from Megillah's Rus, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Tes, chapter 4, verse 9. I know you have to turn again. I'm just going to read it to you. And Boaz says to the elders, you are witnesses that I acquired everything that Elimelech had and everything Machlon and Kilion had. I'm in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Tes of Megillah's Rus. I also acquired Rus the Moavid. I acquired her for a wife to establish the name of the dead. The name of the dead will not be cut off. You are witnesses today. Vayomer kol ha'am asher b'shar, and the nation in the gates say, we are witnesses. Hashem should give you this woman who is coming to your house. She should become one of the foremothers. Kirachel v'kilea. She should be like those who established Klal Yisrael. The two of them built together the house of Israel. This girl with Bat Lo built the house of Israel. V'asechayel b'Ephrasa. She should make her name prominent in Ephras. V'ayhi beischa k'beis peretz. Her house should be like house of parents. I wanted to talk about all three mothers of Messiah. Clearly, when I began to prepare this year, I realized I did not have time. That Tamar gave birth for Yehuda. Boaz took Rus. She was his wife. He came to her. She became pregnant. He gave her a son. May we be zocha to the final redemption as we welcome David ben Yishai of Decha Meshichacha, who will embody the traits of his righteous mothers as he restores peace and prosperity to the world, our nation, and our holy land. We shall be zocha to look ahead as did Bat Lot and to journey forth as did Rus the Moavi. May it be immediate and in our days. I wish you a chodesh tov and a very meaningful and uplifting Simchas Yom Tov. Thank you, ladies.